Hi, this is Rodney Smith with the Freedom Experiment, and today I got a very special guest. Her name is Dana Martin, and I'm just going to go ahead and let her introduce herself.
Hey, Rodney. Thanks for having me. My name is Dana, and I live in New Hampshire. I'm an author, and I wrote the book Radical Unschooling, A Revolution Has Begun, and I'm also a speaker. I travel worldwide speaking about, you know, freedom and a partnership parenting paradigm and, you know, everything related to that. So, yeah, I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Thank you so much. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this show with you, because I'm very interested in freedom and liberty. And I think the principles that you lay forth in unschooling directly relate to freedom. So could you just briefly explain what is unschooling and how it relates to freedom?
Yeah, well, unschooling is living life as though school doesn't exist, in a sense. It's kind of like breaking down all the beliefs surrounding, you know, what's essential for a human to know. And, you know, taking the a child's education and, you know, becoming in a partnership dynamic with them to help them learn, you know, what they're interested in. It's a perfectly individualized education. And there's so many different components to this life. There's both the educational aspect of unschooling and then the parenting aspect. For me, I think schools are like prisons, and that children deserve more freedom and respect than schools provide.
Now, that sounds so controversial. When you say that to people, what are usually their reaction to you saying school is like a prison? Because I went to public school, Dana. I didn't think it was prison.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's interesting because it kind of has to do with a child's choice. If a child's chooses school, then it's not like a prison. It's a choice. It's a resource. But when a child's forced to go against their will, like, you know, most kids are today, then it is truly like a prison.
Right. I agree. I totally agree with you.
You know, I just think it's so wrong to force another human being to need to ask permission to go to the bathroom and, you know, to force another human to jump through these hoops to learn what somebody else thinks they should know. I mean, we're not all meant to learn the same things in life. Now, the idea that everybody needs to have the same curriculum to be successful is completely false. It just basically grooms people to work for somebody else. It's like training people to be worker bees. And through unschooling, you know, our kids are free-thinking entrepreneurs. My son has had his own business for years. My daughter, who's 11, has her own pet-sitting business. And, you know, life doesn't have to be the way that most people are living it, you know. If you need to ask permission to be with your children, if you have to ask permission from an institution to have time with your children, there's something wrong there. That's not true freedom, and that's how schools operate today.
I agree. I wasn't asked that I want to go to school. I was forced, and my parents were forced to send me to school because they had to go to work, or either that or find some kind of daycare. And most of the times they couldn't afford it, so the public schools was probably the best option for them. But even though it was maybe in the best option, it probably wasn't the best option educationally for me.
Right. Well, I mean, it's so different, too. Now, Rodney, like when we were kids, there wasn't really a lot of learning resources. I mean, there were books and encyclopedias. But, I mean, nowadays, schools are just so, like, old school. They're so caveman in relation to, like, how, you know, all the resources that are out there with the Internet and, you know, so much is at our fingertips. That's much more evolved than what schools could offer. So, you know, I know living this life, unschooling is kind of a privilege in a sense. I feel really fortunate that we can do it because not everybody has this option. But, yeah, I mean, I think by the time I have grandkids, school will be just a choice for people. And I bet, you know, 50% of people will be making the choice to live this type of life. So it might be kind of like edgy now and kind of radical, but it won't always be.
I agree. And I've tried to implement unschooling principles in my house. So I'm explaining to you what's been going on in my house, and I want you to give me some advice on how I can make it better. So
yeah, I'm happy to.
Okay, good. All right. So I have two daughters and a son. I have a 9-year-old daughter, and I have a 4-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old son. So once I heard about unschooling and I looked at your videos and your website and I read articles on it, I looked up Alfie Cohn, and I looked at some of his principles that he has. And so I just let my kids go. I let them pick out their own food. I let them watch TV whenever they wanted. But what I got out of that was that they just wanted to watch TV all the time. I think I did it for 2 weeks. They wanted to watch TV all the time, and they didn't want to eat any good foods at all. And it got frustrating, especially for me and my wife. I did it. My wife travels, so she wasn't here, so it was easier for me to let them just go and do what they wanted. But once she came back, it was harder to get her to go along with it because she saw they only wanted to watch TV. They didn't want to learn how to read and write. They didn't want to eat any good food. So what can I do to improve this?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of different things that come to mind. For one, there is a process, you know, of deschooling, which may or may not apply to whether a child's in school, but there is this process of control. Like so much of this life has to do with letting go of control and shifting to connection. And if you've been controlling surrounding those areas before, it takes a while for kids to build that trust, to know that you're serious and that it's not going these freedoms aren't going to be whisked away. And also, so much of it, Rodney, has to do with like how you're really feeling. Now, you can't just go through the motions physically and say you can watch as much TV as you want and you can eat whatever you want, but then inside, you know, emotionally feel fearful of it or not really trust the process, because your kids know. Especially kids like yours, connected, you know, attached kids who they're so in tune with what your feelings are that if you're not totally on board mentally with it, they know it. And so I would recommend, you know, following your heart, talking to your kids about it, and, you know, trying it little by little. Sometimes if you just let go of everything at once, it can be kind of overwhelming for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, one option is when, you know, one thing I do is I'll go grocery shopping by myself sometimes, or especially when the kids were younger, I would go grocery shopping by myself, and whatever I brought into the house, they had total freedom what to eat, you know, and they could eat whatever they wanted when they wanted. But, yeah, I mean, it's totally a personal choice. And I think if you would really trust the process and do a little bit more unbrainwashing yourself, mm-hmm. about, you know, seeing the learning and all that they're doing, and just knowing that things will balance out, that they'll regulate themselves in time, and continue to trust the process, you will see them making other choices.
So basically you're telling me that I need to just keep letting go of my fears and just it'll work itself out?
In my experience working with families, it does. That really hasn't been that long. Two weeks to let go of these kind of things isn't like a very good trial period, especially if, you know, from what I'm learning, talking to you, you still are a little nervous about it and still a little unsure as to whether, and it's also has to do with connection and building that relationship with them. What are you doing while they're watching TV? You know, could you sit with them? Could you connect with them? Bring them food, talk about the show. It could be a great opportunity for you guys to connect as a family.
I see what you're saying. Okay. I see what you're saying now. Instead of just letting them watch TV alone, then I should interact with them while they're watching TV.
Or just sit with them and enjoy it. See why they like it. You know, see things through their eyes. Ask them, what do you guys like about this? And what are they into? What kind of shows are they watching?
They like Sprout and all of those Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah. And what did you have for controls before you learned about this?
What I would do, I would tell them when they could watch TV and when they couldn't, what they could eat, what they couldn't. I basically controlled everything.
Well, it's so normal for them to want to do nothing but that then.
Yeah.
It really is until they trust that it's not going to be whisked away,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, until really trust has to be built surrounding that. And also they're going to get their fill of all this TV that they wanted to watch. I mean, I think a really great book I loved was this book called Everything That's Bad for You is Good for You.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it on Amazon. I forget the author. I'm sorry. But it was a great book, and it talks about the benefits of TV. I'm sure you've done your research over the years, Rodney, about all the harmful effects of TV.
Yes.
But have you given yourself equal opportunity to learn the benefits of TV?
No. No, that's a good one. No.
I mean, I would recommend for sure doing that and seeing things through their eyes. And there's so many amazing things on television. Kids learn so much. And some kids are truly visual learners. Maybe your daughters are visual learners where they're absorbing and learning so much. TV introduces kids to so many amazing concepts. It's not just about consumerism and commercialism and all these negative things that we've been, you know, brainwashed to think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It all has to do with the intent behind the television.
Okay. I see where you're going with this. And I agree, because what I did start, I got my daughter an iPod, and whenever she wanted to, every day I would ask her, is there something you want to learn about? And she wanted to learn about how gum was made. So we sat together and we watched YouTube videos on how gum was made. And she wanted to know where milk came from. So we did that with the, you know, with the iPod and YouTube. And another thing I took from you, too, that has worked was that my daughter loves to draw. So we just been buying her things to allow her, you know, make projects and draw and color and paint. And along the way, her writing has improved, because sometimes she'll say she wants to practice writing and it just comes out of the blue and her writing has really developed. So that part of it, I think, has worked, because I'm not forcing her to do it. She just naturally loves to do this stuff.
Well, reading and writing are just tools to help her get more of what she wants in life. So what human wouldn't want to learn these things? And she'll pick it up as a side effect of you facilitating her pursuing her passions. What else is she interested in, this particular daughter?
She's interested in everything. There's nothing I can say that she's not interested in. Another one of her shows that she likes is Sid the Science Kid. So she's always asking questions about the weather, precipitation, how a car works, how TVs work, how does our phones work, just any and everything. I can't think of anything that she's not interested in.
I mean, from what you've told me about the shows she's watching, they're awesome. There's so much information in there. And think about it. We live in such a book-worshipping culture that, you know, TV's really new historically, and there's so many myths surrounding it. And, you know, when radios were on the scene before TVs came out, parents were told the same kind of propaganda about how harmful radio was. And before that, parents were told how harmful comic books were. And really, you have to open your mind and see things through her eyes and know that she's not going to make choices that are harmful for herself. And that what if she was sitting for hours looking, reading books? You'd be so proud as a parent. You'd be like, yep, that's my girl. She's sitting there reading.
You're right.
You don't need to hold judgment over TV just because it's television. I mean, these shows are awesome. Sid the Science Kid. And, you know, I personally don't value certain shows over others, but that's taken me a while to come by. I remember Devin, who's 13 now, a couple of years ago, we really wanted to watch CSI with Joe, my husband, because my husband was into it, and I had a little concern about that. I talked to Joe and said, well, they show, you know, dead bodies, and it's pretty intense, that kind of show. I don't know how I feel about him seeing it. And so Joe said, well, I'll just watch it with him, and we'll talk to him about it and tell him what to expect. And, well, I'll tell you, Joe watched it with him. They watched a whole season, actually, together. For one, it was an amazing connection time for the two of them. And for two, Joe would let him know, how do you feel about seeing, you know, a dead body before they're doing an autopsy? And he would say, Dad, I know it's not real. Well, I mean, this interest led to so many amazing things for Devin. We, you know, learning about forensics, and he bought this awesome, we bought him this great kit where he could put together clay on these faces and try to, all these things related to forensics and things I'm not even up on because it was so far advanced for me. But if we had limited that out of my fear, he would never have learned all that he did as a side effect of this show. So you have to trust that the choices that your kids are making are because of their interests, because of a need that's being met. And how can you facilitate these interests further?
Okay. I see what you're saying now. Instead of forcing my kids to do what I think is best for them, just let their natural curiosity decide, you know, how they want to learn and carry on their life.
Yeah, well, I mean, learning's like breathing. It's not separate from life. And so even asking your daughter, what do you want to learn about, is kind of a hard question.
Right.
Because she just naturally wants to learn. There's no stopping it. Even if you tried to stop it, you couldn't. Learning is not separate from life. So right. I think that's part of the whole process, Rodney, is seeing learning in everything your kids are doing, not just these things that schools have brainwashed you to think are important or educational, science, math, reading. You don't realize how brainwashed you are to see things for valuing those things that school told you were important over other things that your daughter might choose.
Right. I agree. I see what you're saying.
So part of this process, honestly, is for you to take the time to de-school yourself, to unbrainwash yourself as valuing certain learning objectives over others, and looking at life through her eyes and through all your kids' eyes, and trusting their path and their process, and sitting with them and finding out what they're into. Sid the Science Kid, cool. What else can you do in relation to that that would help nurture that interest?
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying.
But I know that So, but it takes time. Like, you're the one that has to do the work with this, not your kids. You're the one that has to go through this healing process of, you know, or this journey of seeing everything of value that your children choose.
Okay. I see what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. You're right, but it is hard to unschool yourself and unbrainwash yourself.
Yeah, but, definitely.
But it's important because I love my kids and I want the best for them.
Right.
Okay, well, let's switch gears then. What about how do you discipline your kids, Dana? What about when they're acting up, Dana?
Oh, this is like the topic of the week for me for some reason, I swear.
Okay.
It's awesome. It's perfect because I've talked about this so much in different interviews.
Okay,
well,
good.
You know, it's interesting. We live in a partnership parenting paradigm instead of the traditional authoritarian parenting paradigm. So I don't believe in punishing my kids. Ever. They've never been punished. However, they're awesome people. And I think most people hear no punishments and no rules, and they think that it must be total chaos. But in fact, our home is really peaceful most of the time, and our kids are awesome, cooperative, loving people. So,
but
you know,
Dana, what about in real life when there's consequences for your actions?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is our kids are in the real world living side by side with my husband and I, and they see that if I'm speeding in the car, I get pulled over and get a ticket. You know, they see that you've got to stand in line at the grocery store. They see everything that goes into real life because they're next to me. See, I don't need to set up a fake little arbitrary world filled with, you know, fake rules for them to learn how the real world works. They learn how the real world works, including rules, you know, punishments, consequences, by living in it. My role is to help them understand how the world works. And I think punishments are definitely something that would distance me from my children, and that's not what I want. And I also think they're really mean and cruel, and they're completely unnecessary. But if you would have told me this, Rodney, 15 years ago before I had kids, that I'd be living this life, I would have laughed. I would have been like, are you kidding me?
I know.
I never would have pictured it. I didn't even know what this was about. I've just been kind of following my kids lead from the beginning. And in the same way that I wouldn't punish my husband or ground my husband or take away something he owns, nor would I for my mother or my best friend, I would never do that to my children.
Okay. Good.
But I think it's kind of interesting to look at it like that. Like, I'm their guide. I'm the facilitator of, you know, what they're doing in life. And so give me an example. Give me an example with your kids, something you've dealt with recently, and maybe I can give you an alternative way to view it or handle it, just to give you a better idea.
Okay. Well, I don't punish my kids either anymore. My 1-year-old son would be the first son that never got spanked or hit for doing something. I wanted to talk about that too before I tell you my example. I'm African American, and a majority of the people that I know that are African American had parents that spanked them, like me. And a lot of the African American people that I work with were spanked, and they spanked their kids. And for a lot of African Americans, I know that they take pride in the type of spankings that they give their kids and the stories they tell about how they were spanked. So could you address that real quick about the damaging effects of hitting your kids?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, basically, children learn what they live. So you're modeling by spanking or hurting another person that power rules, and that to get what you want in life, you hurt somebody to get it. And it's really basic and simple. It's not any more difficult than that to see that if children learn what they live. And, you know, not only that, but there's so much to explain with all of this. But one thing I'll say is, like, 99% of parenting books on the market are focused on meeting the parents' needs solely. The parents' needs for quiet, obedience, compliance. And all the parenting shows and focus in our culture are on behavior and training kids. And the behavior is, like, the only focus, where this paradigm focuses on the needs under the behavior instead of just the behavior. Now, kids aren't dogs that need to be trained. They are human beings that have feelings and so forth. So they're just like us.
Right.
So I wouldn't, you know, it wasn't that long ago that men were told to hit their wives if dinner wasn't on the table on time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding, Rodney. It was not long ago historically that men were told that by their fathers, by their friends, you know, just like you're sharing about your community. you know, supporting spanking. Everybody supported men beating their wives and training them to obey. Well, I mean, look at how far we've come, you know, with the feminist movement and so forth, that men would be arrested if that happened. And the same exact thing is happening now with children. Just historically, that's all that's happening is we're hitting first, you know, it was women, now it's children, and we're beginning to see the damaging effects of treating other human beings that way. And, yeah, there's just a better, more evolved way to do it where it's unnecessary, but it's hard for people because if that's all you know is controlling and punishing and spanking.
Right.
It's hard to know what to do in place of it. You know, some parents kind of go from doing that to not doing anything. Some people call that unparenting or really permissive parenting, and that's not what unschooling is. That's not what I'm talking about doing nothing.
Okay.
What do you do, right?
Right. That's what I was going to get to. Okay, so let me give you an example. My oldest daughter, my oldest and my youngest daughter were playing, and the oldest daughter wanted something from the youngest one, didn't get it, so she hit her. So how do you handle that?
Well, I would find out what the needs were of the kids. So I would be the voice. So your younger daughter hit your older daughter?
No, the older one hit the younger one when she didn't get what she
wanted. Okay. Well, I mean, I would say that hitting is a form of communication. It's a late indicator, actually, that she probably asked for something before it got to that point, I'm assuming, and didn't feel heard. And, you know, most adults, you know, in their 30s and 40s sometimes resort to that after getting really frustrated. So your daughter doesn't have as much experience in life. And so hitting, again, it's a form of communication. It's not the best one. But I would just try to be the voice of your older daughter. And I would hug my younger daughter and say, "You okay, sweetie?" And just, you know, "Please don't hit. What do you need? How can I help you guys?" I wouldn't put a huge – try not to get really angry in those situations. It can be hard. You know, when our children are angry – well, when we were kids, if we were angry, our parents were angry because we were angry.
Right.
That's a huge shift, is to, like, allow your children their anger, but maintain your calm and joy and just be like, "How can I help you guys?" That's all you have to do in your role, is to say, "How can I help the situation?" You don't have to focus on the behavior yet. I would never even focus on the hitting until after everybody's calmed down, find out what happened, and then talk about it later. Like, you know, "That really hurt your sister when you hit her, sweetie, and, you know, let me know if I can help you next time before you hit that point, because I don't want you guys hitting each other."
Okay, cool. Well, that's what I did. That's what I do now. I have them talk about their feelings and their needs. Like, what was it that you were needing that you didn't get? And, you know, that's not a way to get what you want. And then I had my youngest daughter tell the oldest daughter how she felt when she got hit.
Yeah.
I have them now, you know, talking about their needs and their feelings a lot more. And I do the same, and I don't feel embarrassed about it when
That's
I talk
awesome.
To my kids now.
But it's so great.
But you're right. It was a big change, because all I knew was if you don't get angry around your parents or you're going to get hit. So that's how I treated my kids. And another thing I wanted to say, Dana, was that I think my oldest daughter is the most violent because we were the most violent for her. Like, she endured violence from us longer than my youngest daughter did. So I think that's why sometimes she may handle her anger that way.
Well, one thing I'm so impressed with, Rodney, is that you're actually calling it what it is. That's awesome. Like, so many parents would never call it violence. So the fact that you're calling it what it is pretty amazing and evolved. Exactly. I mean, and you learn what you live and learn, and you've learned so much, and talking to your kids about it is so important. I mean, talking to your older daughter and saying, "We didn't know any different. It's just how we were told to parent you, and I'm really sorry if we ever hit you or treated you less than respectfully. We just didn't know any other way, and we're trying to learn a better way. And so I don't want you hitting your sister. It hurts her. That's not how we treat you, and we don't want you to treat her that way. So just please try to, you know, we're going to help you try to find other tools to communicate with. But open your heart to understanding that that is kind of what she knows. And in time, the more she sees you not resorting to that, the more she's going to learn other ways too."
Yeah. I agree, because that's what I started doing. I know they may not get it now. They may not understand what I'm doing, but I try my best not to make them feel guilty whenever, you know, they do something that we disapprove of. I don't yell at them as much. I try my best. Sometimes I do, but I'll immediately apologize. And I'll say, "You know, Daddy doesn't want to yell at you. He's sorry. He got frustrated. I know you get frustrated too, but that's not how we should handle our anger."
Right. That's awesome. That's so great. I mean, we all have those moments as parents, even me and my husband do, especially if you're tired or hungry or it's been one of those days, but being able to just apologize and say, you know what, I didn't mean to treat you that way. I'm sorry. And, gosh, our parents would have never apologized to us.
Nope. And when I first,
back in the day.
I agree. And when I first heard this stuff that you were talking about, I had never even thought of my kids as just smaller, younger human beings. Like, I don't even know the word that I would use to describe what I thought of my kids. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I
view them as humans.
Well, it's just the roles were different. The expectation, the roles were different. I think most parents, traditionally, their role is to train their children.
Right.
To train them to obey, to train them, to constantly be preparing them for adulthood and for the future, and focusing on behavior. That is the main focus, is behavior, where I can't even fathom treating my kids that way anymore. Like, when Devin was really little, my oldest, who's 13, he was like 2. I can hear one of my kids crying. My husband's handling.
Oh.
Some of my daughter, I think, just shut her finger in the door. I think all is well. He's got it covered.
Okay, good.
Sorry, I was a little distracted. just focusing on the needs under the behavior. Even if whoever's listening to this interview takes that one little tip out of all of this, focus on the needs under the behavior, not the behavior, that changes everything.
Yep.
It shifts everything.
I agree. It makes it so much easier not to get angry at your kids.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's see. Oh, one last question. How does all of this relate to freedom and liberty?
Wow. Well, from the educational side of it, from the school side of it, you know, not having a child in the institution of school is huge. That's a whole level of freedom that most children don't know in our culture. Giving them the freedom of what's in their minds is huge. That's one of the most basic human rights that's so overlooked. Can you imagine having your mind grilled constantly as to what you know? Well, I mean, freedom is freedom of the mind, and not testing or quizzing your children is giving them freedom that most children would never know. And also the freedom for them to express their full range of human emotions that they were born with. Again, going back to what we were talking about, Rodney, about, you know, if we got mad, then our parents would get mad back in the day. And now, I mean, if my kids are upset and angry, I try to maintain whatever, you know, place I was in before they get upset, not getting angry and sucked into that whole energy, and just maintaining like a calm demeanor and being the rock for them.
Yep.
So freedom of expression of their emotions, and freedom of their mind, and freedom of choice of what they want to learn and where they want to be, and who they want to be surrounded with. I mean, just those three things are huge.
Right. I agree. The way I look at school too is similar to you. The things that I truly learned and haven't forgotten are the things that I truly wanted to learn. And I think that what was so frustrating in school is I had somebody there forcing me to learn something they think I should learn.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Can you repeat the last part? It kind of cut out for a sec.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just said
the most frustrating thing that about school to me was that somebody else was forcing me to learn something they thought I should learn. And,
right.
And most of that stuff I'd never even remember.
No, we're not all meant to know the same things in life. And whoever thinks that we're supposed to is, you know, whoever thought of that whole concept was very incorrect, because we're all meant to... We all have strengths and weaknesses, and our path is to be an individual and to pursue what interests us. And we are all meant to do great things. And school keeps everybody in mediocrity.
Yep.
I think kids make the best of a situation in school. You know, you hear people say all the time, well, I went to school and I'm fine, or I was punished and spanked and I'm fine. Well, no, you survived and you made the best out of the situation, because children by nature for survival just do. But that doesn't make it okay. I remember sitting in the most boring history class, you know, even at age 16, and I wanted to be playing guitar and at the ocean and pursuing all these awesome things that interested me. Like, who would I be today if I was able to truly be me and learn what I wanted to learn?
Right.
So that's true for every human being, and it's not freedom to force somebody physically and mentally to do what somebody else thinks is best for them. I believe that my kids know what's best for them. With me by their side as their partner and their facilitator, I trust their choices. Just like trusting your daughter's choices with television and being their partner. And, oh, what do you like about this show? And, you know, I'll use Sid the Science Kid as an example. There's no reason after she watches that show, you can't jump on YouTube or Google Sid the Science Kid experiments. And, oh, what can we do in the kitchen together? This is so cool. What do you love about this show? You know, use whatever interests your daughters have as the nucleus of their learning and bring as much of that into their lives through as many resources as possible to learn and grow from. But just have fun with it.
Okay, I will. And thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, Dana.
Oh, you're welcome. It went by really quick, and we barely grazed the surface of all of this. So if you ever want to have me back, Rodney, let me know. Give me an email, and we'll do this again and dig deeper.
Okay, I will. And I'll find you on Facebook, too.
Oh, good. I hope so.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Rodney. Have an awesome night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.